Thank you for being an amazing supporter of the 10X Podcast Group, home to the history of the Caribbeans. We're excited to have you as a valued member of our growing community. If you haven't already, we'd love for you to follow us on your favorite podcast platform. Your likes, comments, and reviews mean so much to us. They help us reach a wider audience and inspire us to keep sharing these incredible stories. With new episodes released daily, your feedback plays a crucial role in shaping our content and making it even better. Your dedication and enthusiasm drive our mission to document and celebrate the rich history of the Caribbean. We're deeply grateful for your support. Today, we're thrilled to present Puerto Rico Episode 1, a captivating story tracing the journey from the island's earliest settlers to the present day. So sit back, relax, and join us as we guide you through this fascinating chapter in Caribbean history. Enjoy the journey. Chapter 1, The Taino, Keepers of the Island. 1. The Origins of the Taino. The story of Puerto Rico begins long before European sails cut through the Atlantic horizon. It begins with a people who, guided by the rhythms of the sea and the pull of the land, shaped the island into a thriving civilization. These were the Taino, the original keepers of Boracan, as they called the land. To understand them is to trace their origins back thousands of years, across vast rivers and through dense jungles, into the heart of South America. The ancestors of the Taino were part of the Arawakan language family, originating from the lush and sprawling basin of the Orinoco River in present-day Venezuela and Colombia. As expert navigators, they moved through the complex network of waterways that flowed through the continent, settling along riverbanks where they cultivated their first crops and established their first villages. Over centuries, these early Arawak-speaking peoples expanded outward, reaching the coastal regions and setting their sights on the great expanse of blue stretching beyond the shores. It was the Caribbean that called to them. Using dugout canoes, carefully hollowed from massive trees, they ventured across the waters, hopping from island to island. The first major settlements in the Greater Antilles took shape around 400 BCE to 200 CE, and over time, they established dominion over the islands, becoming what we now call the Taino civilization. Their journey to Puerto Rico was part of a larger migratory pattern that saw these seafaring people move through the Caribbean, pushing beyond Hispaniola and Cuba into the smaller, more fertile island of Boracan. Here, the land was different. Rugged mountains gave way to rolling hills, thick forests teemed with life, and rivers provided freshwater sources that made settlement sustainable. With their arrival, Boracan became more than an island. It became a homeland, infused with the spirits of their ancestors and governed by the rhythms of the earth. 2. The World of the Taino. Living in harmony with their environment, the Taino adapted seamlessly to the island's diverse landscape. Boracan was abundant, offering all that they needed to survive and thrive. The forests provided wood for their canoes and homes, the rivers yielded fish, and the land was fertile for their staple crops. They developed sophisticated agricultural methods, growing yuca, cassava, maize, sweet potatoes, beans, peanuts, and peppers, sustaining large populations with their ingenuity. Fishing was equally important, and they mastered the art of constructing woven fish traps placed in estuaries to catch a steady supply of food. Using large nets and hooks crafted from shells and bones, they pulled in bountiful catches of parrotfish, grouper, and snapper from the warm Caribbean waters. The sea was their constant companion, a living entity that provided not just sustenance, but also shaped their beliefs and worldview. Their settlements were structured with great care, with UKX villages built around a central ceremonial plaza. Homes, known as bohayos, were round and made of wood, thatched with palm leaves, providing both shade and ventilation. The cacique, or chief, resided in a larger structure known as a cani, symbolizing his authority. Trade and communal living were integral to Taino society. Goods like cotton cloth, stone tools, fish, fruits, and pottery were exchanged between villages and neighboring islands. Inter-island trade networks connected them with the greater Arawakan-speaking world, fostering not just commerce but also cultural unity across the Caribbean. 3. Society and governance. The Taino social hierarchy was well organized, structured into chiefdoms known as cacicazgos, each ruled by a cacique. These leaders held not only political power, but also spiritual significance, acting as intermediaries between the people and the gods. Their status was often inherited through lineage, but merit and leadership qualities also played a role in governance. Advising the caciques were the boheiks, spiritual leaders and healers who held deep knowledge of herbal medicine, cosmic beliefs, and ceremonial traditions. They were the keepers of wisdom, preserving oral histories that traced the origins of their people and their relationship with the spirits. Women held a prominent role in Taino society, often participating in governance, and even ascending to the position of cacique in certain chiefdoms. Their influence extended into agriculture, family life, and religious ceremonies, making them essential to the community's stability. 4. Spirituality and mythology. The Taino believed in an intricate spiritual world, governed by divine forces known as Zimis. These were deities or ancestral spirits embodied in stone or wood-carved idols, each representing different aspects of nature and life. The most revered of their gods was Yukahu, the god of yucca and fertility, who provided sustenance to the people. His counterpart, Atabe, was the mother goddess associated with fertility, fresh waters, and the earth. Rituals played a crucial role in maintaining harmony with the divine. The oraitos, elaborate ceremonies combining music, dance, and storytelling, were performed to honor the gods, celebrate victories, and pass down traditions. Another sacred practice was the cohoba ritual, in which Bohiques inhaled a hallucinogenic powder made from the seeds of the cohoba tree, inducing visions that were believed to be messages from the spiritual realm. The Taino also revered their ancestors, believing that the spirits of the dead remained among the living, guiding and protecting their descendants. The caves of Boracan, especially those in Cueva Ventana and Cueva del Indio, were sacred spaces where they connected with these spirits through carvings and ceremonies. 5. Arts, symbols, and storytelling. Art was a reflection of the Taino's spiritual and daily life. They adorned their bodies with paint and tattoos, wore intricate gold and shell jewelry, and crafted ceramic pottery decorated with sacred symbols. Petroglyphs, etched into cave walls and boulders, depicted Zimis, animals, and cosmic symbols, each carrying deep meanings that connected them to the unseen world. Their oral traditions were the backbone of cultural continuity. Stories of creation, heroic ancestors, and natural phenomena were passed down through generations, ensuring that their history remained alive even in the absence of a written language. 6. Conflicts and alliances. Though largely peaceful, the Taino were not strangers to conflict. They had territorial disputes with the Caribs, a more warlike group known for their raids. Defensive strategies included building villages inland or near rivers to avoid surprise attacks and using bows, arrows, and clubs for protection. Despite these skirmishes, trade and diplomacy often took precedence over warfare. The Taino established strong trade networks with their Arawak relatives in South America and with other island communities, exchanging goods that helped sustain their growing populations. 7. The first signs of change. As the Taino thrived, subtle changes began to appear. New celestial omens, unusual shifts in weather patterns, and unfamiliar whispers carried by the waves. Stories spread of distant lands beyond the horizon, of men clad in metal arriving in floating islands. They did not yet know it, but history was about to change forever. The distant sails of foreign ships would soon appear on the horizon, bringing with them a force unlike anything they had ever faced. Boracan, the sacred land of the Taino, was on the brink of transformation. Chapter 2, The Arrival of Columbus, A Turning Point. 1. The Journey Across the Atlantic. The winds of change began to stir in the late 15th century. Across the vast Atlantic, in the courts of Spain, an ambitious navigator named Christopher Columbus sought the favor of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella. Armed with theories of a westward passage to the riches of the East, he was granted ships, men, and the blessing of the Spanish crown. On September 6, 1493, nearly a year after his first voyage, Columbus set sail from the port of Cadiz, leading his second expedition. This time, his fleet was far larger, 17 ships carrying over 1,200 men, including settlers, priests, and soldiers. His mission was no longer simple exploration. It was conquest, colonization, and the expansion of Spanish dominion. As the ships cut through the Atlantic waves, weeks passed before they glimpsed land. On November 19, 1493, Columbus and his men arrived at an island he would name San Juan Bautista, later known as Puerto Rico. 2. First contact, the Taino and the strangers from the sea. For the Taino, the sight of the towering Spanish vessels must have been bewildering. From the shores of Boracan, villagers watched in awe and apprehension as these floating wooden structures approached. As Columbus and his men set foot on their shores, the Taino cautiously emerged to greet the newcomers. Initial interactions were peaceful. The Taino, ever hospitable, welcomed the Spanish with gifts of food, cotton, and gold trinkets. Columbus, however, saw something different, a land of untapped wealth and a people who could be exploited. 3. The Spanish view of the Taino. Columbus immediately took note of the Taino's gentle nature, communal way of life, and lack of weapons. He described them in his journals as being as gentle as lambs, making clear his belief that they could be easily subdued and converted to Christianity. He also noted their gold ornaments, further igniting Spain's hunger for the riches of the New World. Columbus claimed the island for Spain, marking the beginning of an era that would forever alter the fate of Borican. The Spanish erected crosses, performed Catholic rituals, and declared their sovereignty without understanding the depth of the world they had just entered. 4. Seeds of conflict, the first signs of Spanish intentions. Despite their initial hospitality, the Taino began to sense that the newcomers were not merely passing visitors. Columbus and his men demanded food, gold, and labor, quickly establishing an unsettling presence. The caciques, particularly Aguibana, the supreme chief of Borican, watched closely. The Spanish fascination with gold was insatiable. The Taino, who saw gold as merely a decorative element, were baffled by the European obsession with it. When Columbus began ordering the collection of gold and implementing a forced labor system, tensions began to rise. 5. The impact of European diseases. As the Spanish settled in, a silent enemy arrived with them: disease. The Taino had no immunity to smallpox, measles, and influenza, which spread rapidly through their villages. Within a matter of years, entire communities were devastated, their populations dwindling at an alarming rate. Where once Borican thrived with tens of thousands of people, the land now witnessed loss on an unimaginable scale. The dead were buried hastily, and the living struggled to comprehend what they were facing. It was a war they could not fight with arrows or clubs, an invisible plague that reshaped the very fabric of their civilization. 6. Columbus leaves, but the Spanish stay. By 1496, Columbus had left Puerto Rico to focus on his colonies in Hispaniola, but he did not leave Borican untouched. His legacy was cemented by the Spanish settlers who remained behind, ensuring that the island's fate was now intertwined with Spain's expanding empire. Settlers built the first Spanish structures, laid the foundations for future towns, and continued their relentless pursuit of gold. They also began to implement the encomienda system, which would soon reduce the Taino to a slave labor force under the control of Spanish landowners. 7. The resistance begins, Aguibana's struggle. The Taino, faced with growing oppression, did not submit quietly. Aguibana and other Taino leaders began organizing resistance movements, seeing the Spanish as an existential threat to their way of life. The first open conflicts between the two groups erupted as Spanish abuses escalated. Enraged by the enslavement of their people and the desecration of their sacred lands, Taino warriors began attacking Spanish outposts and burning down their encampments. Though the Spanish had superior weaponry, steel swords, crossbows, and muskets, the Taino fought fiercely with wooden clubs, macanas, spears, and poisoned arrows. Their knowledge of the terrain gave them an advantage in guerrilla warfare, allowing them to harass Spanish forces effectively. 8. The Battle of Yegaycas, 1511. The First Revolt. In 1511, a defining moment came. Under the leadership of Aguibana II, nephew of the original Aguibana, the Taino launched a large-scale revolt against the Spanish. Hundreds of warriors gathered in secrecy, preparing a surprise attack on Spanish settlements. One fateful evening, they struck. Spanish settlements were burned, colonists killed, and supply lines disrupted. However, the Spanish, with reinforcements from Hispaniola and better weaponry, counterattacked brutally. The Taino resistance, though fierce, was ultimately overwhelmed. In a decisive battle at Yegaycas, the Spanish ambushed the Taino, killing Aguibana II and scattering his warriors. The loss was devastating, signaling the beginning of the end for Taino resistance on Borican. 9. The Spanish take full control. Following the suppression of the revolt, the Spanish tightened their grip on Borican. The encomienda system became widespread, and those Taino who survived were enslaved and forced into labor. Mines were established to extract gold, fields were cleared for Spanish crops, and Catholic missions worked to convert the Taino to Christianity. But conversion was not salvation. It was the final step in the erasure of their identity. Within a few decades, the once thriving Taino civilization was nearly extinct. Disease, warfare, and forced labor had reduced their numbers to mere remnants. Those who survived either assimilated into the growing mestizo population or fled into the mountains, where their descendants would preserve echoes of their culture for generations. 10. The legacy of Columbus's arrival. The arrival of Columbus in 1493 marked the beginning of Spanish colonial rule in Puerto Rico, setting in motion centuries of transformation. Boracan was no longer an independent land. It had been forcibly woven into the Spanish Empire. For the Taino, the arrival of the Spanish was not a discovery, but a cataclysm. The once proud keepers of the island saw their world collapse in the face of conquest. Yet, even in their defeat, their spirit lived on, influencing Puerto Rican culture, language, and traditions in ways that endure to this day. Chapter 3. The Fall of the Taino, 1500s, The First Rebellion. 1. The Changing Landscape of Boracan. By the dawn of the 16th century, Boracan was no longer the island it had once been. The harmony that had defined the Taino civilization for centuries had been shattered. Spanish settlements were expanding, and the once pristine land was being carved into encomiendas, a system that enslaved the native population under Spanish rule. The arrival of Columbus in 1493 had marked the beginning of an irreversible transformation. The Taino, the first inhabitants of Boracan, had welcomed the Europeans with hospitality, offering them food, gold, and guidance through their lands. But this kindness was met with betrayal. Within a decade, the island had been claimed by Spain, its people subjugated to forced labor, and its resources exploited. Under the encomienda system, Spanish settlers were granted vast parcels of land, along with the right to demand labor from the indigenous population. Though the Spanish claimed this system was meant to civilize the natives and convert them to Christianity, in reality, it was a brutal form of enslavement. The Taino, who had lived in harmony with their land, now found themselves toiling endlessly, their villages destroyed, their families torn apart. 2. The Silent War, disease and population collapse. While the Spanish conquest brought enslavement and violence, an even deadlier force swept through Boracan, disease. The Taino had no immunity to the foreign illnesses brought by the Spaniards. Smallpox, measles, and influenza spread like wildfire, wiping out entire villages. Historians estimate that in 1493, the Taino population of Boracan was well over 60,000. Within two decades, that number had dwindled to a fraction of its former size. The epidemic was relentless, and as their bodies succumbed to disease, so too did their will to resist. 3. The Rise of Agwibana II. Despite their suffering, the Taino were not a people who would submit without a fight. Agwibana II, the nephew of the original Supreme Cacique, emerged as a leader determined to reclaim his people's freedom. Unlike his uncle, who had sought peace with the Spanish, Agwibana too saw the Europeans for what they were, invaders. By 1510, whispers of rebellion had begun to spread. Secret meetings were held deep in the forests and within hidden caves, where warriors planned their next move. Agwibana too gathered the remaining caciques, urging them to unite against their common enemy. Though some feared retaliation, others recognized that their survival depended on resistance. 4. The Spark of Rebellion, 1511. The moment of reckoning arrived in 1511. The Taino, led by Agwibana II, devised a plan to test Spanish loyalty. They invited Cristobal de Sotomayor, a Spanish noble overseeing an encomienda, to a ceremonial feast. The Spaniard, unaware of the impending betrayal, accepted the invitation. During the feast, at a signal from Agwibana II, the Taino warriors attacked, slaughtering Sotomayor and his men. This act of defiance ignited the rebellion. Across the island, Taino warriors launched coordinated attacks on Spanish settlements. Farms and villages were set ablaze, Spanish soldiers were ambushed, and those who had once ruled through fear now found themselves hunted. 5. The Spanish Counterattack. The rebellion caught the Spanish by surprise, but their response was swift and merciless. Governor Juan Ponce de Leon, a hardened warrior and conqueror, led a brutal retaliation. He mobilized Spanish forces, reinforced by war dogs, muskets, and steel armor, and began his campaign to crush the uprising. The Taino, though fierce and strategic, were at a disadvantage. Their wooden weapons were no match for Spanish swords and firearms. As battles raged across the island, the Taino were pushed back, forced to retreat deeper into the mountains and forests. In the decisive Battle of Yegaycas, Aguibana too and his warriors made a final stand. Though they fought with unmatched bravery, they were ultimately overwhelmed by Spanish firepower. The death of Aguibana too marked the turning point. Without their leader, the Taino resistance began to collapse. 6. The aftermath, the fall of a civilization. The Spanish victory was absolute. The rebellion had been crushed, and those Taino who survived faced grim fates. Many were executed as a warning to others. Thousands more were enslaved, forced into labor in gold mines and sugar plantations. Those who refused to submit either fled into the mountains or took their own lives to escape a life of servitude. By 1520, the once thriving Taino civilization of Borican was nearly extinct. What disease had not claimed, Spanish violence had destroyed. The survivors were absorbed into the growing mestizo population, blending with African and European influences to form the Puerto Rican identity that exists today. 7. The legacy of the Taino Rebellion. Though the Taino as a distinct people disappeared, their spirit endured. The rebellion of 1511 was not in vain. It became a symbol of resistance that would inspire future generations. The echoes of Aguibana II's defiance can still be felt in Puerto Rican culture today, where the memory of the island's first inhabitants is honored in art, music, and tradition. The resilience of the Taino remains embedded in the genetic and cultural makeup of modern Puerto Ricans. The language, agricultural practices, and even certain religious beliefs continue to carry traces of their ancestors. Their story is one of survival, a testament to a people who fought against impossible odds to protect their way of life. 8. Conclusion: a new era begins. With the fall of the Taino, Puerto Rico had been irrevocably transformed. It was no longer the land of the Zimis and Caciques. It was now a colony of Spain, a stepping stone in a vast empire that stretched across the Atlantic. The indigenous past had been nearly erased, but the memory of the Taino would never fade. The rebellion of 1511 was the first of many uprisings that would shape Puerto Rico's history. It was a chapter written in blood and fire, a reminder that even in the face of conquest, resistance would always burn in the hearts of the island's people. Borican had fallen, but its soul endured. Chapter 4. The Strategic Jewel of the Caribbean. 1. The Geographic and Strategic Importance of Puerto Rico. By the early 16th century, Puerto Rico had become a crucial outpost for the Spanish Empire. Situated at the gateway between Europe and the riches of the Americas, the island's strategic location made it an invaluable asset for Spain's growing ambitions. Puerto Rico served as a military stronghold, trade hub, and supply station, facilitating Spain's dominion over the Caribbean and the Atlantic trade routes. With its natural harbors, fertile lands, and defensive position, Puerto Rico quickly became more than just a conquered territory. It became the heart of Spain's strategy in the New World. The island's location allowed Spanish ships to restock and refit before continuing their journey toward Mexico, Central America, and South America, where the true riches of the empire awaited. 2. The foundations of San Juan, a military and trade hub. Recognizing the need for a stronghold to protect their interests, Spain established the city of San Juan in 1521, making it one of the oldest European settlements in the Americas. The city was designed to serve a dual purpose: a fortified military base to defend against rival European powers and piracy, a commercial port where goods, gold, and enslaved laborers could be transported in and out of Spanish territories. The settlement was built with massive stone walls, watchtowers, and defensive forts, including the beginnings of La Fortaleza, which would later evolve into El Castillo San Felipe del Moro, El Moro, one of the most formidable military installations in the New World. Spain's adversaries, including France, England, and the Netherlands, saw Puerto Rico as a prize worth fighting for. As a result, the island became a target for pirates, privateers, and rival European navies, leading to constant skirmishes and a need for an ever-stronger defense system. 3. The role of the encomienda system in colonial expansion. To sustain their new colony, the Spanish implemented the encomienda system, which granted Spanish settlers large tracts of land and the right to exploit the labor of the remaining Taino population. Though the system was justified as a means to Christianize and civilize the indigenous people, in reality, it was little more than a form of enslavement. With the Taino population declining rapidly due to disease and harsh conditions, the Spanish turned increasingly to enslaved Africans, bringing thousands to Puerto Rico to labor in the fields and mines. This introduced the beginnings of Puerto Rico's Afro-Caribbean culture, which would blend over the centuries with indigenous and European traditions. 4. The rise of fortifications, defending Spain's Caribbean jewel. As European rivalries intensified, Spain recognized that its foothold in Puerto Rico was at risk. By the late 16th century, King Philip II of Spain ordered the construction of El Moro, a massive fortification designed to repel enemy attacks. Built with thick stone walls, strategically placed cannons, sentry towers, and deep moats, El Moro became one of the most advanced military structures of its time. It was specifically designed to withstand sieges and attacks from enemy ships attempting to enter San Juan's harbor. Over the next centuries, additional forts and walls were constructed, including San Cristobal and Santa Catalina, making Puerto Rico one of the most well-defended Spanish colonies in the Caribbean. 5. The threat of foreign invasion, the first major attacks. Puerto Rico's role as a Spanish stronghold made it a target for rival European powers. As Spain's empire grew, so did the ambitions of its enemies, and Puerto Rico became a battleground for control over the lucrative trade routes of the Caribbean. French attack of 1528. The first significant foreign attempt to seize Puerto Rico came from the French privateers, who attacked and looted Spanish settlements along the coast. Though the Spanish repelled the invaders, the attack demonstrated Puerto Rico's vulnerability. The English raid of 1595, Sir Francis Drake. One of the most famous attacks on San Juan came in 1595, when the English naval commander Sir Francis Drake, under orders from Queen Elizabeth I, launched an ambitious raid on the city. Drake, one of England's most skilled privateers, sought to seize the wealth of the Spanish colony. However, the Spanish defenses at El Moro held strong, and Drake's forces were forced to retreat after suffering heavy losses. The Dutch invasion of 1625, a near conquest. Unlike Drake's failed attempt, the Dutch forces, led by Bduin Hendricks, nearly succeeded in capturing San Juan. The Dutch managed to breach the city's defenses, burning parts of San Juan and occupying the town for several weeks. However, Spanish reinforcements arrived, and the Dutch were eventually driven out. This event reinforced the necessity of stronger defenses, leading to further fortification of the island. 6. The economic transformation, sugar, trade, and slavery. By the 17th century, Puerto Rico's economy began to shift from gold mining to agriculture, particularly sugar production. Spanish plantations flourished, producing sugar, coffee, and tobacco, which became valuable commodities in European markets. This economic shift intensified the reliance on African slaves, who became the backbone of Puerto Rico's labor force. The transatlantic slave trade brought thousands of enslaved Africans to the island, leading to a fusion of African, Taino, and Spanish cultures that shaped Puerto Rican identity. Despite economic growth, poverty and social inequality were rampant. The elite Spanish landowners prospered, while the enslaved and indigenous populations suffered under brutal conditions. Revolts among the enslaved and small uprisings occurred, though they were often brutally suppressed. 7. The role of the Catholic Church and missionaries. As part of Spain's colonial agenda, the Catholic Church played a central role in Puerto Rico's transformation. Missionaries established churches, schools, and convents, aiming to convert and assimilate the indigenous and African populations into Spanish society. The construction of San Juan Cathedral and other religious institutions reflected Spain's emphasis on Catholicism as both a tool of conquest and a means of cultural control. Indigenous and African spiritual traditions were repressed, though elements of their practices survived in folk religions and syncretic beliefs. 8. Puerto Rico's role in the Greater Spanish Empire. By the late 1600s, Puerto Rico had solidified its role as a vital Spanish colony. The island's population had grown, its cities were fortified, and its economy was deeply tied to Spain's transatlantic trade network. Despite its importance, Puerto Rico remained a secondary colony, often overshadowed by the vast wealth of Mexico, Peru, and Cuba. The island was heavily taxed and controlled by Spanish administrators, limiting its ability to develop independently. 9. The dawn of a new era. As the 18th century approached, global shifts in power began to reshape the Caribbean. Puerto Rico's position as a Spanish stronghold would continue to be tested as new political and economic challenges emerged. The legacy of colonial rule, slavery, and resistance would set the stage for the next phase in the island's history, the slow march toward autonomy and independence.